Today's HR Happy Hour show is sponsored by CultureAmp, the platform that turns your company culture into your competitive advantage. Every company feels the pain of employee turnover, but when sudden, regrettable turnover strikes, it can throw your entire business strategy off course. Now you can forecast which employees are likely to leave with predictive analytics, so you can plan for turnover before it happens. See how in your free report at cultureamp.com/happy. Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. It is great to be with you today on what is a sunny and beautiful day in Western New York. Sadly, I'm flying solo today. Trish McFarlane, not with us. She is on assignment doing something much more interesting, perhaps, than I'm doing, but we wish her well. We will see her soon. She did some great shows, by the way, recently at some events she's been at, so I hope you've been keeping up with some of those shows on the HR Happy Hour feed. I do also want to mention that we are still looking for guest topics, ideas for shows, et cetera. If you have ideas, you can send us a tweet at HR Happy Hour or send me an email, steve@h3hr.com. Also, still pumping up the fact that the HR Happy Hour show is on your Amazon Alexa device. That's right. I read somewhere there was 100 million of those devices have been sold so far. So that means some of you hopefully are listening to this show as well as the Alexa show on your Amazon Alexa device. Just search for the HR Happy Hour skill on your Alexa app and get a little taste of the HR Happy Hour show there as well. Finally, the HR Tech Conference. That's my thing. Of course, tickets are on sale now, www.hrtechconference.com. Use my code Steve 300 for $300 off your registration. Okay, we are getting into a great topic today on the HR Happy Hour show. I love this topic. I love everything about wellness, well-being. I love it from every angle. We've been covering it on the HR Happy Hour show a lot in the last year or so. I'm super excited for our guest today. Today on the show, we're welcoming Tim State. Tim is the Senior Vice President of Associate Health and Well-being at Humana. He is passionate about well-being in the workplace and its power to impact the destiny of individual employees, as well as the organizations and customers that they serve. He is a strategic human resources leader with over 20 years of experience within multiple industries and has led innovative, large-scale, transformative change in areas include health and well-being, benefits, compensation, performance, employee engagement, and human capital strategy. Under Tim's leadership, Humana has earned external recognition for its workplace well-being innovations and outcomes, including prestigious national awards from the National Business Group on Health, the American Heart Association, and number 7 among America's healthiest 100 workplaces in 2018, and many others. And there are many others. I was looking at this today on the website. There are countless awards Humana has won for many of these types of initiatives, which is pretty amazing. So we're lucky to have him. Welcome, Tim, to the HR Happy Hour show. Tim, how are you today?
Outstanding, Steve. Thanks for the opportunity. Looking forward to the chat.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm not kidding. I was like trying to do a little prep. I my extensive research for the show today, which I did a little bit of, and I got tired of reading all the awards you guys have won. So kudos to you and the team there. You guys have done some amazing work.
Well, it's a great team and a great organization. Thank you for that. Sorry that we fatigued you, but we appreciate it.
Save some awards for the other guys, would you? But yeah. Before we get going a little bit, like I try to follow this space as closely as I can. I love the benefit space. I love the well-being space. But maybe just can we step above that just for 60 seconds or so? And just for folks who may not know or may not have kept up, because there's been a lot of change in the industry probably in the last 5 years. Can you give us 60, 90 seconds on kind of just the overview of Humana so we have an idea of the kind of organization we're talking about and the kinds of services and products that you provide?
Sure, happy to. The quick thumbnail on us is that we've been around for over 50 years, founded in 1961. At our heart, we're really a company focused on people and their health and ultimately their well-being. We've evolved a lot through the years. We actually started out as a nursing home company, then became one of the largest owner and operator of hospitals, then grew into one of the nation's larger health plan companies and providers of health benefits. And today, as a Fortune 75 company, we have roughly 42,000 associates. And really where we're focused is a range of members from Medicare to TRICARE, which are the military dependents and personnel, and as well as commercial and employer groups, and increasingly focused around how to basically help people to their best health across a range of different clinical capabilities today. So we're focused on in-home care, behavioral health. We have pharmacy services and a range of wellness and data analytics capabilities as well. So ultimately, we're still mainly focused on inspiring lifelong well-being for every single member that we have the privilege of serving.
Yeah, Tim, thank you very much for that overview and that reset. And I did look up, I always look up when I have like a really, a person from a very large company on the show, I do look up the Fortune list as well. So thank you for resetting that, because I did look at that today myself. And we're talking about many millions of customers, right? Many, I don't know if you call them customers or members, Tim. I don't know the exact nomenclature you use at Humana, but we're talking in the millions of people, right? You guys are working with on a just annual basis.
We are. We're roughly almost 17 million medical members
across
all
50
states. Absolutely. Okay. A lot of relationships and a lot of lives that we're privileged to be a part of.
Well, great. That's great. So yeah, we can dig real deep, to the company on my other podcast, financial services industry today. But I'm glad for that reset, because we're talking about an organization that's serving many millions of people in every state in the country, it sounds like, and really with significant presence in this space, right? Which is really interesting to me, because I'm so super fascinated when I get to talk with HR leaders who are working in companies that are in the business of providing these kinds of services, whether it's an HR software company, in your case, it's a benefits and wellness and well-being set of products. And that's really fascinating. But before we get to talk about that part of it, Tim, we wanted to talk a little bit about kind of what you guys are doing at Humana. You said 40,000 plus associates, right, across the country. And much like any other large organization, I'd imagine you internally, ironically, I don't know if that's even the right word, but must face the same kinds of issues and challenges that HR and benefits leaders face at any type of an organization, right? Trying to help your employees be healthier, be more successful, be more productive, et cetera, et cetera. I'd love for you to just maybe, we'll start by talking a little bit about kind of how you think about that and approach that at Humana, that kind of idea of helping your employees to kind of have their best possible outcomes at Humana as employees.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. We have the same kind of challenges that you see, frankly, in the American workforce. And so the way that we think about that, first, because of the business that we're in, I mean, we're in the business of helping people be happier, healthier, and have lifelong well-being. That means that we have to experience it first from within, but we do have all of those challenges. And so for us, the journey has primarily been about seeing the whole person, and taking a holistic view of that, and then leaning in to really help to identify all the different ways where we can make the path to better well-being a smoother one for all of our associates. We call our employees associates, but every single day, knowing, though, that it's not easy. And so, as we'll talk about, I'm sure, it's a very personal journey. Our idea is, by being part of the company, can we get each and every heartbeat that's with us as a teammate onto their own personal well-being journey? And then hopefully, as they do that, and then as we're journeying together as a community, that's a reflection of the kind of journey we'd like to take our customers on as well.
Yeah, Tim, thank you. Did you get the sense, or maybe in the past that you meant, and I've heard this from, I had an HR leader from a really big hospital group in the Midwest, maybe a year or so, year and a half or so ago. And he told me that sometimes he felt like it was a bit like the cobbler, the old adage, right? The cobbler has bad shoes kind of thing, or whatever that old expression was, that folks that were so involved in the healthcare industry, especially, right? And in the health and well-being of patients and customers, et cetera, didn't always look after themselves, right? They thought about themselves last, almost, right? Is that something you've seen at Humana over the years, that you care so much about the lives of the people you're helping and you're working with organizationally, that maybe internally people weren't thinking about themselves enough?
Well, I think it's probably true for most organizations. I would say that especially when you think about the caregiver and the clinical caregivers, you know, you're talking about your conversation with the person from the hospital business. But in general, when you look at the state today across the country, for our clinicians, our nurses, our physicians, our pharmacists, our social workers, I'm sad to say that they're not exactly a thriving bunch. And so I do think it's a really astute point that a lot of our clinicians and caregivers and our healers are struggling. And so I think that that's absolutely true. And, you know, we've seen our share of that, but I think it's one of the reasons that we've tried to focus so intently on this in recent years.
Right.
Because, frankly, if we can't offer the world something we don't first have, and we want to have those, right, and have those folks really paying attention to themselves, and then if we're coming alongside them to help them identify what the unmet needs in their own lives may be or in their own work experience, puts us in a great spot to be able to make the path a little easier for them. But you're right. I mean, it is a tendency right now that we see everywhere, and we see it as a big opportunity, frankly, to help, hopefully, inspire positive change.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, Tim. And it's interesting that, yeah, like the gentleman I talked to from the hospital kind of said much the same thing as you said as well. And so so that's focus, right, Tim? We're going to focus on making sure employees can kind of live their best lives and have their best outcomes at work, et cetera, et cetera. What are some of the things that you at Humana have to focus on? Because I'd imagine you've got, it sounds like already, like from the conversation that you've got a wide range of employees all over the country in many different types of fields and disciplines, et cetera, right? Their needs might be a little bit different as well. So how do you sort of approach at a very large scale, which is what Humana is dealing with, you know, how to develop an approach and then followed by that, a set of programs and interventions to kind of help people along this journey?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, you know, the first thing I think that has been really important is to have a common way of viewing it, a common language and a common mindset about what we mean when we're talking about well-being. And there are different models and out there in the way to think about it. But we developed, internally developed a way to think about this that really, in our view, tried to capture the essence of what a holistic view of it should be about, and then bring that across the organization so that people can begin to reflect on where they are in their journey. And we can start to have in the culture a common language, a way to think about it. So, you know, in our case, we really are talking about it from four dimensions. So, you know, the dimension of purpose and meaning, you know, what are the things that from career to service and so forth, what are the things that bring meaning and purpose to my life? The second area of health. So you think about not just the physical health, which is really important, but also emotional, even spiritual health.
Okay.
The third dimension being that of belonging. So you think about the strength of relationships, my sense of community and so forth. And then lastly, and maybe at the kind of foundational layer, security. Am I financially secure? Do I feel a sense of safety in my life? And so just bringing forward into the organization a common way to think about it, measure it, as maybe we'll talk about, and then get to personal and collective actions around improving that became really critical. So that, to your point, you know, if you have teammates in one area of the organization, an individual may be struggling with one aspect of their well-being,
right?
Another teammate in their same group, and maybe another, but they have a common way to start to relate to that and talk about their journey. And then we, as HR practitioners, also have a common way to begin prioritizing what the right actions and investments should be in order to help improve the, you know, the outcomes.
Tim, thank you for laying that out. I love that framework. And as you were talking, I like raced for my notepad to write down the four dimensions because, you know, I wanted to certainly remember them, but also because I just thought that makes perfect sense. And we've, I mentioned we've covered different areas of this topic on the show recently. And it's so interesting that two is specifically of the things you talked about, belonging and also security, of things like have been some of my favorite conversations I've had on the show in the recent months. We talked a ton about belonging and inclusion on the show as well. And I also did a show maybe 2 months ago with a gentleman from Prudential, which was all about financial wellness and financial well-being and sort of the things that employers can do, right, to be of service to their employees in that area. So I'd encourage folks who maybe have not caught that show to go back and check that out. But it does fit like in that framework, Tim, that you discussed, right? That's an important, there's many things that are in this framework, but that's another one that's really important as well. So Tim, you mentioned measurement though. So if we've set up this a framework or a common language or a way that we can kind of conceptualize what we're trying to do with employee and associate well-being. What are some of the ways that Humana that you go about trying to, understand where you're at, maybe any kind of baseline that you've done and kind of to understand the interventions that you're making, the programs and services you're offering, what kind of progress you're making? Because I know that's certain important and Humana has been very successful. We talk about all the awards you've won, but you must have a way to really not just think about it or talk about it, but to actually understand it and measure it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it's important to do it, of course, at the individual level. So do I know where I am today? But also at the collective level, right? And so we do. There are a few different things I'd probably think about here. One is that within each of those dimensions that I mentioned, mm-hmm. We think about some very specific metrics and have identified specific metrics and levers that we have to influence it. And this is important because different companies are going to be at different places in their evolution. And as you said, they may only have, when they look at an area like security, for instance, maybe there are just a few things from a financial security they feel that they can influence. If it's promoting engagement in the 401k and maximizing matches, right, or financial education, but whatever it may be. But what are the things that you can do to influence things at a collective level? And how do you create some basic measurement and goal setting around those across each dimension? But importantly, at the individual level, there's the need for, me, the individual teammate, to know kind of where I am on my journey too. So now in our case, early on, frankly, we struggled because we didn't see a lot out there in terms of an individual quick but reliable assessment around that. So we did some work with the University of Michigan to create what we called the Humana Wellbeing Index. And that was just a simple assessment so that people could see across these four dimensions, where their opportunities and barriers were, but also how they compared to the rest of the community.
Okay. So this, Tim, I'm sorry to interrupt. This would be like an instrument that people could take and maybe a survey or a series of questions that they could answer.
Right.
And it would
like
determine,
a 36 item. Exactly.
Oh, I like
36
that.
Item. And then, so that feeds into, for us, it feeds into a way then where we can create some collective reporting and a quarterly visibility and a dashboard that we call the snapshot so that every single leader of 200 or so associates or more is getting on a quarterly basis where they are collectively in their team, if you will, across all these different dimensions, rolled up to a single score. And then they can see how they're doing versus others in the organization. But the main thing it does, quite frankly, is it enables different conversations so that as they set their action plans for progress and improvement, it's normal to talk about all of these dimensions at work, which has, as you can imagine, a big, big impact on culture. And then the other thing, Steve, I would say just as far as measurement goes, is the idea of goal setting and measuring has become really important for us, not only on our internal journey, but externally. And here I'll go to our bold goal, because a few years back, as we continued our own journey as a company and what we wanted to accomplish in the communities we serve, we set a bold goal to help every community we serve externally become 20% healthier by the year 2020.
Okay.
And when we did that, we also set a goal to get ourselves healthier, internally as an associate.
Sure, makes sense.
Community.
Yep.
Right. And get there a little early. So we said we wanted to get there by the end of 17. And so we picked for that a metric called Healthy Days. And the Healthy Days metric is something that comes from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But basically, it's a very simple assessment tool that asks about self-reported mentally and physically unhealthy days that an individual experienced over the last 30 days. So something really simple that would work for our members and customers that we serve and also our own associates. And so that became a very important way to measure, too. We'll talk about progress on that. But the idea just of measurement, goal setting, letting that translate into action, really, really important to the journey.
Tim, there's a couple of different ways I love to take the conversation. So, and I'm glad. And so when you said the word culture a moment or so ago, it was literally almost going to be the next word out of my mouth that I wanted to ask about. So let's talk about that first, which is internally, right? As you've developed this common language and this approach, right? It sounds like it's been something that's been embraced by the organization, embraced by employees. But so I'm guessing it was. So maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, if it really was. And secondly, I'd love for you to comment on just your thoughts about our employees open to and seeking this kind of support / assistance and set of services from their employer on things that maybe not always easy to want to talk about at work, right? Maybe I'm, emotional well-being or financial security, et cetera, et cetera. We don't always want to bring that to work. So I'd love for you to comment in how the people at Humana are working with this and whether or not culturally it's I don't know, it feels like it fits and feels like it works there.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I know there's a lot being talked about and studied around building a culture of health and how that all comes together. And I mean, definitely in our case, I think over time, because this is not a quick flip of the switch.
Right.
Over time, I think we've settled into some basic principles that have helped it solidify the culture, but it has to be real. I mean, it's a journey. Early on, like you were just alluding, I think that, we can all remember the days probably even where, if you grab the gym bag in the middle of the day, maybe you're getting a strange look.
Sure thing.
Saying, wait, where are you going?
I'm old enough to know that for sure. Maybe it still happens now, but I know that. If you snuck out to go work out at 11:45, you got the side eye a little bit.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. And so, but through, I think the point is that when you're committed, and I'll talk about kind of what that looks like, but a lot can change what's normal and okay, and even encouraged to talk about and support really does change over time. So, you go from a world where, you get those looks when the gym bag is grabbed to a world
right.
where now you're talking about really sensitive emotional health opportunities, behavioral health challenges, financial insecurity that we talked about before, much more sensitive terrain. And what's amazing is not only has our culture embraced this, and I know others have too, but I mean, it's an important point of conversation amongst teammates so that they can support each other.
Right.
I mean, well-being is the number one topic of conversation in our internal social media. So
wow,
our social media platform inside the company, people are willing and very much, encouraged to talk about their journeys. And frankly, we share those stories. I mean, that's an important part of the social and cultural currency so that on any given day, you're probably, if you go to our intranet or see some other collateral, you're going to see a story about a teammate and their well-being journey. Sometimes they're leaders, many times they're not, but they are deeply personal and wide open and very inspirational. But that gets really to one of the main principles, which is that as we've leaned into this over the years, social influence, is such a big shaper of health. And so we've tried to really ensure that most of the change that happens, it's happening down in the local team level. It's not a top-down corporate initiative as much as it's something that's happening right where people can feel it. And I just to quickly mention a few of the other principles that come
sure.
to mind. We've talked about the whole person, approach to the well-being model, and that is important because purpose and belonging really are at the heart of health. I think that remembering that the journey's personal is another principle, that it's personal both for the individual and the community, but it has to start with the well-being of the individual. We believe and know that that'll impact the whole company, and it ultimately helps us better serve those that we have the privilege of serving externally. And then lastly, the idea that simple experiences are really the thing that move people. I mean, most companies our size certainly and other sizes, they don't lack for numbers of programs and policies,
right.
You know what I mean? I mean, they've got
yeah.
a lot of that. The question is, are there some simple, meaningful experiences that are going to grab people emotionally and move them? And that is, if anything else, that's what really has helped to bring the culture to life for us.
Yeah, it sounds like a big part of this too is just don't overthink it. Don't overcomplicate it, even on the individual level, right? Take small steps in the right direction. And it may take you a while to get there, wherever there is, whether it's a health outcome you're searching for, or financial security, a mental health thing, or, but if you're heading in the right direction, ultimately you'll get there, right? I'm a big believer in that too. And I think that makes just tremendous sense. Tim, let me do a quick reset real quick. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. My guest today is Tim State. He is the Senior Vice President of Associate Health and Wellbeing at Humana. And we're talking about employee wellbeing, but we're also going to talk a little bit about the broader kind of idea of well-being and kind of well-being in the community. And we talked a little bit before, Tim, about how you're in kind of a unique position at Humana, where not only are you developing programs and services and seeing to the well-being initiatives at the 45 or whatever thousand other odd employee company you've got there, but we talked earlier, you're also working very closely with 16 million, whatever the number was, 16 million people out in the communities all over the country. And it's in your best interest that, you know, that they're kind of following this well-being journey as well. I'd love for you maybe to sort of comment on what kind of, I don't know, synergy or cross-pollination is there between some of the things you guys do internally for your community at Humana and the families of the people who work at Humana as well, of course, as well as then kind of what ends up becoming things that, you know, the customers and the, all the people you're touching on a daily basis, you know, are experiencing as well.
Yeah, thank you for that question. There are so many of those touch points. I'll just touch on a few. I mean, the first is just, and this is true, frankly, for any of us, no matter what company we're part of and so on, but the journey is the same. I mean, in some ways, it's the same, meaning that we're all on, theoretically, we can all be on a health and well-being journey, right? And there are all areas of our lives that could help enrich our lives and so forth. So the first thing is just knowing that we're on a journey and that we're helping to guide others along that same path as well is a big way to be more consumer centric over time, right? As a company. But then when you think about concretely those that we serve out in the community, I'd say one important area has been what I mentioned before around healthy days and the idea that, look, if we're able to learn inside the organization more around what helps people to more healthy days and improve that, how can we bring those learnings out into the communities in which we serve? You know, a lot of our, when you take a whole person view, it quickly points out what we might think of as social determinants of health. You know, what are those barriers and obstacles that are in our way as individuals? It could be, for some of us, it could be food insecurity or transportation obstacles, particularly for seniors. Some of it could be isolation, social isolation or loneliness. Because, you know, as it turns out, and this is true for certainly our employees, and it's most certainly true for the members we can serve externally, that is a massive issue, and it's also a huge barrier to health and well-being. I mean, if we have low levels of belonging in our lives, we're much less likely to be able to make the positive changes that we need to make. I will tell you that inside the organization, what we've seen is that if you're a member of a team who has a high sense of belonging, you know, close cohesiveness within the team, and you are in touch with the relationships that you have within that team, we've seen it that the teammates in those teams experience 6 times fewer mentally unhealthy days than teammates who are in teams with low belonging, right? I mean, profound impact.
And I'm not sure if you've studied this, but my guess would be, if I had a guess, I bet those teams probably perform really well too, compared to, say, the baseline or to teams that maybe are less connected, the individuals less connected with each other would be my guess.
Exactly. More productive, more engaged. And of course, when you look externally then, it helps us focus in a different way on social isolation and loneliness for those that we serve outside the company. And as you said, you know, we're privileged to serve millions of lives, but what we've done is move into the communities now, and we've called them Bold Goal communities. But we have a number of these where we're working with partners, because we know that the journey to health is much bigger than us, to say, okay, let's identify identify and start to tackle some of these social determinants of health, working together in the community so that we're able to simplify people's path to health, bring real concrete solutions with whether screening and then actual solutions around things like food insecurity, transportation, and so forth. So there is definitely a symmetry between the kind of experiences we have inside the company, right, and the learning that can stimulate for those we serve outside the company.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for sharing some of those examples, and they resonate with me really, really keenly. In one of them in particular, I have a friend who works at a community college, mm-hmm. and she was telling me how one of the largest impediments to student success at this particular community college was food insecurity. And mm-hmm. students who just didn't have enough to eat or the right food to eat or couldn't get to the food. And I couldn't believe it when she was telling me this. I never would have thought of that, right? And mm-hmm. and they're, you know, they're taking steps to try to remedy that in their own way and sure. in the best ways they can, et cetera, et cetera. But it's such that problem and the isolation and loneliness problem as well. It's one that we haven't talked about on the show before, but it also resonates with me. And I'm making a note that I definitely want to circle back to that and spend a little bit more time thinking about that and maybe doing something on the show about that, because I think that's another huge one, Tim, and one that
huge.
Probably has not been talked about enough, at least by me.
Yeah, no, Steve, I totally agree. And when you think about the growth in virtual workers, the growth in work at home employees, does it open the door actually for that to go the wrong way? But then likewise, an employee can be lonely and be in a room full of people or be social isolated. So it's definitely worthy of more conversation. And it's a phenomenon that we're seeing, frankly, with the generation that's coming into the workforce. I know you've seen some of the same research, but when you look at teens and folks in their early 20s, actually we're seeing much higher levels of reported loneliness and social isolation in those folks, which is kind of intuitive because you think, wait a minute, you're so dialed in, right? I mean, you're engaged in social media and but it's a different type of connection. And
it's so different.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Tim, that's a great point as well. I think just the fact that to me, it's a huge advance, right? To me, I'm definitely old enough to know when you would never talk about these things at work. I mean, I'm talking about as an individual, but also, as an HR leader or as an organizational leader, these were not things that you discussed, right? And we are made so much progress that at least now we're open to understanding and embracing the fact that people are complicated, they're unique, they're all individuals. There's so many elements that factor into, well-being and this idea of emotional and financial mm-hmm. and health and belonging. And I'm so glad we're talking about it because so much of, and I talked about this some on the show, and I talked about this somewhere when I was doing a presentation, is so much of like what we think about for good or bad, I guess, Tim, like our self-worth, we tie it up in what we do in our work and whether or not we're successful at it, right? Like the old line about like when you meet a person for the first time, within 2 seconds, right? Someone's asking the other person, well, what do you do, right? What's your job, right? Like, it's like we don't ask about, what baseball team do you like? Or, what's your favorite food? We are immediately like, what do you do? And so much is tied up in that. So I'm glad we're talking about these topics more openly finally. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're so right. It's a lot about the identity. Well, and also that we've come to a place where we're sort of at this unique time where there is enough understanding now in a range of sciences and so forth that we understand a lot more about human behavior, a lot about human performance, organizational theory. A lot of things are kind of converging at this point in time where, we can confidently stand up and make the case for why not only is this the right thing to do, and not only from a social standpoint is it such a positive, but frankly, from a business standpoint, extremely compelling. I mean, I can show you, we've seen in our own experiences that our teammates with high levels of well-being, not only are they much more engaged, but they experience, 2 times fewer unhealthy days a month. They are 3 times more productive, miss 3 times fewer work days. They're 3 times less stressed, 3 times less likely to look for another job. I could go on. But the point is, these are really, really valuable to any business, frankly, when you're looking to, better serve those customers.
Yeah, Tim, we're almost out of time. I did want to ask one last thing. I meant to ask it earlier and I just got caught up and I got excited about something else you said, I guess, but which was just kind of organizational leadership and the influence and the importance of organizational leadership. I'm talking leadership, right? CEO, C-suite right. type leadership yeah. in these kind of initiatives. Is this something that is important for them to be discussing? Is it important for them to show support for and the leadership for? And you can talk about specifically what happens at Umana if you'd like to, or you can talk more just generally about it from your experience. But I'd love for you to just maybe comment a little bit about the role of the most senior folks in the organization in supporting and embracing these kinds of efforts and initiatives.
Well, like so many things, you know, in organizational life, yes, it's very important that that senior leadership embrace and ultimately model and inspire around this. Not only, of course, because of the power of their voice, the power of their modeling and their support, but quite frankly, because this is something that has to be sustained over time. You know, it's, as I said earlier, it's not a 1 or 2 year kind of journey. But, you know, moving population health, just population health, takes years.
And commitment.
But the good news is, the great news is that there, I can't think of a CEO out there that isn't thinking about the impact of culture in the performance of their organization. This is a huge role to play in that. Can't think of a CEO that's not thinking about how they can be better positioned to support their customers and to grow their customers. And when, you know, their employees are thriving, they're going to do better in those customer interactions, et cetera. So there's a huge case. But yeah, we've seen that senior leadership, it's true for us and many organizations on this journey, very important. Now, in our case, we're blessed with wonderful senior level support and engagement. We set board level goals and objectives around improvement, you know, year over year. Our CEO and management team is very involved, and they all have their own well-being action plans for their respective parts of the business, you know.
Right. That's important. Yep.
Yes. And we meet regularly and that kind of thing. So they're out there, they're sharing, they're vocal, they're modeling. You know, and that doesn't happen overnight either, but it's critically important that that happen. But I would also say very important that at the grassroots level, there's a level of inspiration there too. And, you know, we've worked really hard to kind of foment a whole network of volunteer grassroots champions who can bring it to life in the local teams where it's really going to translate into action.
Yeah, Tim, that's a great way to wrap it up and a great kind of way to button up the story. And, you know, you've got that support from the top and you will, as well as you've got the grassroots and kind of people on the ground and individuals kind of seeing what's in this. I hate to say the what's in it for them thing, but still, like, how I connect to this and how I relate to it and how this is meaningful to me personally, which is a huge step, right, in any kind of workplace initiative. And it sounds like you guys have really made a ton of progress in this realm and are continuing to set really really aspirational and kind of aggressive goals, which is great and which is great to see as well. So. Tim, man, great conversation. I know we went a little long. I promised you 25 minutes and I went long. I don't care. I'm so excited about this topic. I love it. So thank you, Tim, for being with us on the show today.
Oh, Steve, thank you. It's a great opportunity. I appreciate your audience and appreciate the conversation. You're doing great work. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate that, Tim. So it's Umana.com is the main website, but we also will post links and resources to we have the Bold Goal Progress Report, some associate well-being report we can link to, as well as other information about what's happening at Umana. Lots of the folks listening to this show maybe are working with Umana already, so maybe it's time to engage with them a little bit further on how they can help you and your organization and kind of taking these steps that Tim and company are doing there inside Umana. That would be an awesome thing too. So Tim State from Umana, thanks again so much for being on the HR Happy Hour show today. It was a great conversation.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. So wow, great show. I love this topic. I do. And obviously, I'm geeking out about it a little bit. I'm going to have to calm down a little bit. It's Friday afternoon as we record this. I'm not going to say the date, but it is a Friday afternoon. I'm going to have to go outside and just settle down, just dial it down a little bit. But thank you so much for listening to the show. It's a great conversation. We'll get all the links out there in the show notes. Please remember to subscribe to the HR Happy Hour show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for having us. We've hit our 10-year anniversary, by the way. Trish and I talked about that on a couple shows ago, but we're super excited to for the next maybe another 10 years of the show. And thanks so much for being with us. So for Trish McFarland, for our guest Tim State, my name is Steve Bowes. Thank you so much for listening to the HR Happy Hour show. We will see you next time, and bye for now.
You're listening to the HR Happy Hour show with host Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.
Thanks to our friends at CultureAmp. Discover how you can use predictive analytics to forecast employee turnover with your free guide available at cultureamp.com/happy. That's cultureamp.com/happy.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.